Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, we have a special show, and all of our shows are special, of course, and we'll be talking with Victoria Gross, who's a psychic, author, and paranormal expert, and she's here to talk to us about how to use your psychic skills for everyday living. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much, Lady Brenda. So formal. I thank you for asking.
Could you tell our wonderful audience about your work and what you do?
Yes, I can do that. I am Maureen, and I'm an intuitive consultant, psychic empath, and all-around nice girl. And I work with everybody at PsychicAccess.com here, and my work is just that. I must do it. It's what I do. There you have it.
So there you have it. Nice so girl? That's like a nice girl. Oh,
nice girl. Gosh darn it, everybody likes me.
Steve, how are you doing?
Nonsense. Oh, sorry. I'm very well, thank you.
Could you tell our wonderful audience about what you do, what you specialize in?
Yes, I'm a wonderful boy. I'm not a boy anymore. I'm still very short, but not a boy. And I'm a psychic medium, and I give readings with Psychic Access. And as Maureen said, it's what I do and what I feel led to do in life. So I'm very fortunate to do what I enjoy most and what is most meaningful to me, and that's working with spirit.
Thank you, Steve. And anybody who's read with Steve knows that he's a fabulous medium. Okay, now least but not least, Bobby, what about you? Last but not least?
I bought my psychic skills for $10.
I don't believe it for a minute. No way.
Oh, come on. Yeah, no. Hi, I'm Bobby Marcheso, and I'm psychic medium also. And it's kind of funny. I met somebody yesterday also who was a psychic, and she started asking me how long I've been doing this and that kind of thing. And she had told me that she'd been psychic all of her life, and she had said something that I think I've said before, but I really resonate with. She says, "I didn't choose to do this; it kind of chose me." And we hear that, don't we, all the time, that it really isn't. It scares some people when they think they don't have a choice, but it really isn't a choice. It's not like, you know, you woke up one day and decided to do this. It just kind of, it develops, it happens, it expands, and now it's so much a part of you. It's just who you are now. So
the universe, it chooses you to do it.
It chooses, really, right, isn't it? Yeah.
It really, you know, I think that all of us could agree on that. Well, and you work with all of us lovely people on PsychicAccess.com. And myself, I am a straightforward predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places. So a little bit about our guest tonight. Victoria Gross is a clairvoyant and medium who's been doing psychic readings professionally since 1987. Her background is in tarot, palmistry, crystal gazing, and psychometry. She teaches and lectures on these subjects and various topics of metaphysics. In 2002, she attended the Arthur Findlay College of Mediumship in England to further her education in the psychic arts. Victoria's psychic interest led her to paranormal investigation, where in 2009 and 2010, she was a lead story producer for the Bio Channel, specials and first season of My Ghost Story. She's a second-degree Reiki and Magnified Healing certified. Victoria is a paranormal researcher and investigator and the author of the book Ghosts of Orange County. In 2001, she created the North Orange County Tarot Society, which now became the Los Angeles Tarot Society. To find out more about Victoria, you can visit her websites at www.tarotla.com and www.casefilesunknown.com. Good evening, Victoria. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brenda. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's good to hear your voice and to speak with you.
Yeah, we're real excited about this. There's been a lot of interest. A lot of people have told me, they've go, God, this is such an interesting thing, because they all want to know if they're psychic. Do you know what I mean? And
That's true. That really leads
me to my first question to you. Do you believe that everyone is intuitive in at least some ways?
Well, you know, that is a very interesting question, and I go back and forth. Sometimes I think yes, sometimes I think no. And so I'm kind of on the middle of the fence, but if I come straight down to it, I think yes. But I feel with some people it's more latent, it's a more latent ability than other people. With some people it comes more naturally. But either way, I'm a very strong believer in training of psychic ability. I feel that psychic ability untamed and untrained can and will cause havoc in our lives. So I think there's more people that are more susceptible to that or more prone to it. And being a palmist, I see that in people's hands. Because there are some people that, I know you do palmistry, you know, we have more of the earth hand, and that's not saying that everybody who has an earth hand is not psychic, but there's some people that are just, they're not interested in that, and that ability stays very latent in them, you know, where other people that have more of a creative hand or psychic hand, I think they're more in tune to that energy.
That, you know, I like the fact that you brought that up, because, you know, it probably goes back to like past life stuff and what they're supposed to be doing in this lifetime now. Don't you agree?
Right. I think absolutely. So I'm not really sure we can say that everybody has psychic ability. I think our sixth sense is our natural sense. So in that essence, yes, people do. But what they're supposed to do with it, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it goes back to past life. What are they supposed to do with it in this life? And I don't think everybody's supposed to do something with it in this life.
No, because otherwise everybody would be psychic and they wouldn't need us anymore. No,
but so true.
Most of the people that are listening, they have an interest in psychic stuff, and most of them have an interest because they have seen something, felt something, and like you were saying, it's unchained, it's undisciplined, and it has wrought havoc in their lives. And so, you know, in that way, I guess that's probably what led you to, you know, begin the second book of yours, Psychic Skills for Everyday Living. Is that how you conceived the idea on how to control these like dreams or visions? And a lot of the stuff that I've been hearing from the young people is they talk a lot about deja vu. Have you gotten that?
You know what? I haven't, but I don't think I've been talking to that as many young people as you have, but that would make really a lot of sense to me, because I think the younger generations, they are so much more open than when you and I, you know, came on board and had to do our study. I mean, these kids are they're staying open a lot longer. So I think that they're very well in tune to all of the energies. And so, yeah, the deja vu would make a lot of sense to me why these younger kids are experiencing this a lot more.
And that's how they're kind of like getting their psychic awakening. You know, that's what I call it. You know, when somebody starts having, you know, their psychic awakening. So with your idea of using the psychic skills to understand ourselves in everyday living, now, would that help somebody, say, if they were having, like, I get this a lot, having all these dreams, I don't know what to think about it, you know, I don't know what the message is. How would you how would you counsel somebody on that type of thing, on how to recognize what was really happening with them?
Right. And, you know, the dreams is there will be a chapter on dreams in the book. And I am a person that I think only we can interpret our own dreams. I mean, there's a lot of books out there, good books, you know, that has dream interpretation. And that's good. And that's for general. But when it comes right down to it, I think only we can interpret our own dreams. And I know, and probably with you also, I know that, you know, we get a lot of our messages through our dreams. So I think it's very important to keep a journal and just to write down what the dreams are, because we will see patterns in the dreams, and we can, once we become aware, and that's what I think the psychic ability is just being very, very aware, we can gauge, you know, what's going on in our lives. So I think the dream, if someone came to me with, you know, say, hey, I'm having these dreams, first of all, I'd say write them down, and then let's look at them and let's see the pattern here and what message is your dreams telling you. I mean, you know, I rely heavily on my dreams for the messages. That's how I get a lot of my messages about my own life, you know, which way I'm going, what I'm doing. You know, and the book, The idea of the book, it actually was something that my editor and I kind of came up with because, you know, like you said, I did write the book Ghosts of Orange County from Schiffer Publisher, and they wanted me to do another ghost book. And I thought, well, I want to kind of branch out from just doing a ghost book. So I thought, you know, I know how hard it was in the beginning to find information on the different types of psychic skills. And now there's a plethora of books out there and really good books. Some aren't good, and there's many, many good books. So I wanted to do something different and just break it down and just to describe what each skill is and do an exercise to develop that skill. So that's how the book kind of came about.
Can you give us an example of one of the skills?
Well, you know, one of the skills, clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, you know, clairhearing, clairseeing, clairknowing. And I would always start with the clairsentience, clairknowing, because when I was over at the Arthur Finley College in Stansted, England, studying mediumship, that's one thing that we did is we just went out into the beautiful gardens and became aware of everything on the physical level. And that puts us in almost like an altered state, because then we're not so distracted with all these thoughts in our minds. And that's why I don't even believe in multitasking, you know, because it distracts people 100%. And that's why people, you know, I think are just not conscious. So I think the clairsentience is really is what brings us to a consciousness of total awareness. And then that, for me, that's how I step into my psychic ability. It's like I don't even have to step into it. It's just there. And that's what I teach my students, and that's, you know, what will be in the book.
And that's called clair... Say it for the audience again.
Clairsentience?
Yes. So that's the knowledge, just the awareness of what's around us. Because, as you know, and you and I have talked about this before, I mean, it's all in the interconnection between ourselves and the universe, right?
Exactly. It is exactly. And I think it's very challenging for a lot of us, you know, that have been psychics working with this energy for a long time, or just people that haven't been aware, or whoever. I mean, we walk in between both worlds. And actually, you know, I mean, our body's in between, and we got the right hand in one world and the left hand in the other, you know. So there's a lot of information coming to us on so many different levels that it gets very overwhelming at times. And that's why, you know, it's that old repeated thing, you know, meditation, meditation. Well, I find it very difficult to sit down and meditate a lot. But, you know, when I am sitting and having my morning coffee, looking at the sunrise, that's my meditation. Or if I'm taking my dog for a walk in a park, that's my meditation. So whatever works for people, but it's just becoming quiet within yourself and getting rid of all the monkey chatter so you can
hear gobbled, the gobbledygook.
Time. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I better stop being a multitasker. I'm like the uber multitasker.
Oh, well, I give you credit. Probably because I don't do it in one, because it made me very unconscious that I, you know, would, but, you know, some people are really good at it. But I just think that's one of the things, especially when we're starting to work with psychic energy, you know, maybe for people to realize the more that we're unconscious, and maybe people are very conscious multitasking. I'm just not, you know. So the whole point being is becoming very aware of everything in your physical surrounding, because I really do think that's what brings us into the higher levels.
Well, you know, it sounds like what a lot of the ancients have, even the Native Americans, that's part of how they start their whole spiritual or their connection with, you know, the universe. You know, we could take a lot of lessons from the ancients. Don't you agree?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
So, Victoria, when did you know that you had a psychic connection with people in the world around you? Like, when did you have your psychic awakening?
Well, you know, actually, I think it was probably back in the mid-80s when I went to the Spiritualist Church, Corona Light. Because looking back at my life now, I was a child and an adult, it explains things, but I was never really aware of what it was. I wasn't grown up interested in talking to ghosts. I mean, never dawned on me, you know. I wasn't interested in anything. And then in the 70s, I met a man and who became my husband at one time, and his mother became my mentor. You know, and she really started teaching me, and we became friends up until her death a couple years ago. But it was in the 80s when I went to the Spiritualist Church in Corona and just started training and just started taking classes. And that, it was just the right time. Things just opened up extremely for me. But again, you know, I took a lot of classes. And I think that's one thing that, you know, I think we've seen in the past, you know, 10 years, you know, people are just taking, you know, 4-week class and now they're hanging the shingles up. You know, it's much more complicated and difficult than that.
You know what? I have an issue with that. Do you have an issue with that? I have an issue with that.
I have a big issue with that. That would be a big issue.
I have an issue with that because those of us who have dedicated, you know, really are dedicated, we know that you can't skip from point A to point Z and call yourself a psychic. You know what I mean? It takes a lot of training. Yeah. It takes a lot of dedication. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair to our clients. It wouldn't be fair to the people who we counsel. Don't you agree?
I agree with you 100%. You know, to me, the whole process, you know, is a lifetime process. And it's just like working with tarot. You know, after 20-some years, I'm still learning new things about it, and that's the beauty of it. And working with psychic energy, I'm still learning new things about it, you know. And it's, I think one of the things that I discovered in the beginning was that, you know, opening up psychically and taking all these classes really helped me to learn who I am. Because, you know, people would say, oh, you're this, or you're satanic, you're this, or that, whatever, evil, whatever.
And oh, that old chestnut. It's satanic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I know. It always cracks me up.
I know.
I think working with the psychic energy, you don't get away with not knowing who you are. You know, so I do have a hard time with people who just take a 4-week class or, you know, now they're psychics and they're out reading for people. I think it's very, extremely dangerous, you know, because we as professional psychics, we have a responsibility to our clients and to the people that we're working with. I mean, none of us take it lightly.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, you know, wouldn't you agree that when you're learning the psychic, you know, how to read and you know, the psychic skills, that you have to be able to discern, you know, what you truly see and what you, you know, what you're not seeing. Do you know what I mean? And
exactly.
I think there's a lot to be said with when knowing, you know, following the knowing and not making a guess. Do you see what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why sometimes I think feelings can be, you know, sometimes, you know, clouded because we have, you know, our own filters. So it really takes a lot, I think, to work on getting to that, you know, deep knowing of something or hearing that, you know, hearing it clear audio, you know, and also trusting what we do know and hear or see.
And the trust comes, I think, with experience. Reading, yes. Reading. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just practicing it. Reading or developing your skills. Like you talked. So, what are some of the other skills for the audience? I know it's clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. So you would take through these skills. You would take would be lessons that you would take people through how to develop each one of these skills.
Right. What I do is I talk about, you know, what that skill is, and I'm just incorporating, I'm a researcher too, so I like to have in my books, and like I did with the Ghost of Orange County, it's not just a ghost story. It's researching about the property or the people, something like that. So I do want to bring in a lot of research here that is history, like who was the great psychic or, you know, of the 1800s or something like that, you know, with clairsentience or something. So I do want to bring that in to make it exciting for the reader. I mean, you know, look at Edgar Cayce, you know, from last century, you know. I mean, it's just...
Oh, I know, and his connection was just so incredibly awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, when I talk about, you know, I will be talking about, you know, some historical people, what this is, and how we can develop it. And also, too, I'm going to have a section in there, you know, what mediumship is, what paranormal investigating is, ghosts, you know, the difference between being psychic and spiritual, because I never even knew there was a difference for years and years and years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a psychic plane, there's a spiritual plane. So, you know, just all these different things, a 10-foot pole department, you know,
mm-hmm.
all of that, you know.
Well, there's definitely a big interest in that these days because people know that, you know, even with science, they know that there's something else out there that's not just what we see. Do you know what I mean? Now, do you think that all this, the research that you've done in the paranormal field has revealed a connection between the living and those on the other side?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And, I would say probably, I mean, to me it always has. I started doing paranormal investigations probably in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was on a very small team. I mean, I don't think we even have a website or anything. And the reason why I got on that team is because we do historical landmarks and different things. And my background's in design. So I'm like, yeah, I'll go into these beautiful places, you know, I'll have these ghosts. Never even dawned on me before. But we did, you know, through those investigations, we did get a lot of proof. But I would say the best proof that I've ever seen is from when I did work on my ghost story and then also the work that I'm doing now on Case Files Unknown. Because, you know, both with Case Files Unknown and my ghost story, it's about people's stories with actual footage to back up the story.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, yeah, things can be, you know, photoshopped and everything. So it does take a lot of scrutiny, and it's not something that we just accept and say, oh, okay, that's it. But probably one of the best things that we have evidenced that we do have in one of the pilots is it was a story from 1987, and it came out of Minnesota from a police officer, and he was called to an accident scene where a young kid was killed. And he's just taking photographs, and, yeah, everybody's just taking photographs, doing what they do. So he gets a call from the crime lab. Now, this is the time before Photoshop and all that, because we're talking, I think, 84 or 87.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back, and there is, you can see the boy, like, just the ectoplasm. You can see it. The boy is looking down at his body screaming. I mean, it's very eerie.
That is so wild. That is so. I want to see that picture. I want to see it. I'm sure Bobby wants to see it too because he loves stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, you and I'll meet and I'll show you. We're, you know, it's not going to go on the internet or anything because we promised the police officer we wouldn't put it on the internet. You know.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a look at that.
We have to take a look at that, huh, Bobby?
We have to see that.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredible. And so we also work with really. People who have credibility, like police officers. And another story when we did on my ghost story came from Oklahoma City, and there was a police officer involved. And, you know, the footage was captured on camera. And, yeah, other shows have tried to, you know, said, oh, it's debunked, this and that. But the thing is, when you really do the research and you talk to the people, that's, you can tell the credibility. And, you know, a lot of these people are just good old boys, you know, from Oklahoma City. They're not going to lie. Their word is their integrity, you know. It's important.
That is interesting. And so the seeing of that would be clairvoyance, and so the psychic skills, that's how you prove that these psychic skills are even out there, right? By your evidence of the clairvoyant pictures. I would think, what would you call that? That would be, because it's not, I know that they have recorded spirits and those loved ones from other sides, and that would go along with the clairaudient. That would be almost like a clairvoyant type photo, wouldn't you agree?
That's a good way of putting it. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, that would be, because these people don't see this stuff at the time that they're taking the pictures.
No.
It's after the fact when they're developed.
Exactly.
And you know, a lot of this, you know, especially if it's footage, I mean, you know, we put it through an editing system, and we have people who can tell if this stuff is fake or not. So I mean, it's not, you know, and again, we really look at the credibility of the person that's giving us the story.
Sure, definitely. Now, could a person use a particular psychic skill if they desired to talk to a loved one that's passed over?
Well, yeah, they could. And I think, you know, that we really can't say which skill to use, because it really depends on the person and what they're comfortable with working with.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, maybe somebody's more comfortable doing it in a meditation. I mean, when I started a spirit circle or the enchanted circle, which I think we've all done, you know, have the crystal ball and people around, and we've done readings. And that was before I even realized anything about mediumship. I didn't know, even think about that I was mediumistic, you know. It was just part of what we did, you know. And so for me, because I'm a Taurus, I'm a visual person, and I like tangible things. I like working with a crystal ball when I'm communicating with spirit, because I like having something tangible, you know. Some people just sit there and they close their eyes, and that's fine. Whatever works for a person is how they can do it. I write letters. I talk, you know, if I'm traveling, you know, by myself somewhere, I'll talk to my dad, you know, and I can feel him with me in the car, and I'll just talk to him. You know, fortunately now everybody has these Bluetooth, so you don't look crazy when you're talking to yourself.
You just have your Bluetooth is off, but you're talking to your dad. You know what? I'm with you on that. The crystal ball is what I use when people want to come in. They want to contact someone who's passed over. I guess it's just old school, huh?
Yeah, and I love old school. Because you know what? We were taught by old school teachers. You know? So we were taught by old school teachers, and, you know, I love old school. I'm an old school teacher, just like you. Yeah.
So, tell us, in developing, if a person is developing their psychic skills, how would that help them to, like, say they had a broken relationship in their lives, and how would getting in touch with one of these psychic skills help them understand
it? Brenda.
What?
I said, I love that question. That was,
it's what everybody wants to know.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Because, you know, because I think there's so many broken relationships, unfortunately.
Well, you got to kick a lot of frogs, honey, right?
That's true. Well, you know what? I think, you know, actually, how would a psychic skill help a person heal? I think very, very good, because, you know, for me, you know, in that situation, I would go back into empathy and really try to understand what happened here and why this happened, and really have empathy for the person. And I'm not talking about somebody who's, you know, beating up somebody viciously and really cruel. You know, I really don't have empathy for people like that, okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm just talking about somebody breaking up and like, okay, it's time to move on, and the other person doesn't. I would try to really work with my empathy and try to understand what really is going on here. And also, you know, forgiveness plays a big factor. That doesn't mean we forgive an injustice or say it was right or like, oh, it's okay that they cheated on me or something. No, that's not okay. But we don't forgive the action, but we forgive the person. And that's hard to do. For me, at least, you know, that's something I work on constantly.
I think for a lot of people, especially Italians, it's sometimes ingrained inside of us. But I like that, and I can see how, you know, if you get outside of yourself and you look at the situation through some of your intuitive gifts or what you're working on, then you can probably see even the karmic pattern in it. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. And I think when we do that, we rise above the situation and we can get a better handle on it. So then we're not caught in the muck. And when I think about that, I think of the Eight of Cups from the Toph deck, the debauchery, the slime, you know, all that is like, because when we get caught up in all those emotions, we don't see. You know, because it's like slime in our auric field, let's say. You know, it's clouded. It's in our emotional body. So I think when we can really just, you know, like go inside ourselves and really work on rising above the situation and using our intuition and just saying, okay, let me know what went on here, or open up my psychic eyes so I can see the truth of this situation. And then sometimes a duck is a duck, and maybe the truth is right in front of us and we can't see it, you know.
Oh, you don't want to see it. You're not ready to see it. You want to control the situation, you know?
Yeah.
And that is something, like, I know that some of my other psychic, the co-hosts would agree, is ego and control is a big part of it as well. And though, you know, it's part of the mundane, don't you believe?
I agree with you. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about, you know, going out into nature, and that's how you connect with, you know, the universal energies, and you start with the psychic sense, psychic skills. And if you had just something very, like, if there was people that wasn't available to them, what other thing could you suggest for people to kind of get in tune with themselves besides meditation? Would it be like a daily ritual or something? What would you suggest?
That's a good point, because not everybody can get out in nature. And I think it's important to realize that just because nature isn't around the person doesn't mean they can't get in touch with things, you know. And so that's a good point. One of the things that I do that helps me is I do a really quick, like, auric bath. And I just start with the soul star that's above us. You know, it's about 2 feet above us, or a foot or 2 foot above us. And then I bring that light down into my crown chakra, my third eye, my throat, my heart, my solar plexus, spleen, and then the root chakra, and then down into the earth. So I just kind of do a psychic wash. And, you know, sometimes it's just the only time that you have to do that between the busy schedule. But that's one thing that I think is a good practice for me, because I can take as long as I want with it, or just do a really quick wash with it.
I've never heard it called the psychic. Did you say a psychic wash, or what do you call that? I know the concept, but I like that, what you call that.
Yeah, that's just kind of what came to me, that it is. And
it's your own personal thing, but it makes sense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you can do it, you know, with water, whatever. I do it with light, you know, and just kind of cleanse each auric, each chakra as I go down. And bringing it from the soul star, because that's our connection. And sometimes I'll, you know, have a light going up from the soul star up to the universe. Now, so, I mean, it comes from the universe anyway, but it comes, you know, I like to work with my soul star too, because I want to bring those soul qualities out. And it's a challenge, you know. I mean, living in the world and environment that we do, I mean, you know, it is a challenge to do that. So... So it helps humanity if I can do it, because it makes me a nicer person.
Well, you know, You've got to take time. Everybody's got a minute. Everybody can take 30 seconds to do something. I mean, really, if you don't, maybe you don't really want to. Do you know what I mean? Or you're not ready, that type of thing. Don't you think that people need to be ready to open up these to work with their psychic skills?
Well, I think to work with them, yes. I think a lot of people are already opened and not ready for them, and that's where the training is so really important, because people don't know what it is. And I think it's just the energies in the planet, especially with younger people. And I do have an issue with young people being mediums and contacting spirits and things like that.
Okay, we're going to take just like a 1 minute to commercial, and then let's talk about that. I want to hear that. Okay.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we're back with our guest, Victoria Gross. Now, getting back to your thoughts about young children and, young people being mediums, because, you know, I think that this is so important that you bring this up, because there's so many parents out there going, oh, well, Johnny's seeing spirits all the time, and what are they telling us? And they put the kid in the hot seat to do this channeling. What do you feel about that? What are your thoughts about that?
I'm disgusted.
Yeah, it is pretty disgusting, because they're being bombarded. And explain why you think that it may not be a healthy thing.
You know, I think because these children are they're just biologically too young, and I just think they're so open anyway, and they're getting all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, train them to be in this world first. Train them to be effective and efficient in this world. They really don't need to be contacting spirits at 12 years old. Okay? I just don't think so, you know. And if they are, I think that, okay, get them help. And personally, I think it should be shut down until they can function as young teenagers, adults in this world, and then open back up. That's just my opinion, because I'm horrified that there's so many, like you said, you know, my little Johnny, he's speaking with spirits, you know, and everybody thinks it's so cool, but what they, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of dangers, which we know, and then everybody, you know, it's like demons are really in, you know, every spirit they talk to, these kids talk to, is a demon, you know. It's like,
of course,
hey,
yeah, and it's always something negative, and they're seeing these people. Now, they are seeing them, but your thought, just like, and I agree with you 100%, is that you shouldn't encourage them, you know, actually being a go-between or contact, because of their vulnerability, some real negative things could come through. Is that what you think?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, you and I, we know that after all these years, what we've gone through, the negative and the positive, mm-hmm. and how hard it's been for us as adults and trained adults to navigate through that landscape. Mm-hmm. Navigating through the psychic landscape is not always easy, you know. And to have a 12 or 14 or 17-year-old and say, okay, yeah, you're experiencing that. Now what do you see? This, come on. You know, these kids, in my opinion, they should be kids doing what abnormal again, but they should be doing what kids do, play in this world, you know, because they will have, if they are that mediumistic, they will have a whole lifetime as adults to explore that terrain. But as kids, when all their hormones are going which way and this, and they're being developed, you know, on the etheric level too? I think it's too dangerous. I don't agree with doing that at all.
Well, you know what, I agree with you too. I think that you need to really take a look at it. I mean, it is true in history that the priesthood used children as channels for some of their psychic stuff. But that is something that, you know, it could be viewed as kind of negative at this point. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So,
and look at the climate, though. If history was like these kids were brought into the priesthood, they were brought into a priesthood, and that was their life, and that was their training. These mm-hmm. kids live in L.A. and this and that, going to school or New York or wherever these kids live. They're not brought into a priesthood. They're not in a monastery training. They're in this
world. This is true. They're into their video games.
yeah. So I think that there is not the protection of a sanctuary that maybe the priesthood that used these children would have. I just don't think these kids are protected. So mm-hmm. that's my take on it.
So say you're ready to develop your psychic skills, and you know you don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. You've heard about what they are, the clairaudient, the clairsentient, how to develop these. I know that there's various tools that some of us psychics use, like, of course, the tarot cards. It's the Bible, right? What we consider our Bible. Anyhow,
yeah.
What do you feel is the role of tools in psychic, in developing these psychic skills?
Well, I think the role of tools like tarot or the crystal ball or the pendulum, I think they're great tools. And again, because I like tangible things, I enjoy working with tools. But I was always trained, and I've trained my students. Just imagine if you were on a desert island and you didn't have your tools, would you still be able to do your psychic work? And the answer better be yes. So the tools to me are just frosting on the cake. They're beautiful frosting on the cake. We don't really need them, but I think they're a great way. I think they're, for me and for my students, they're a pathway into the beautiful meadow, you know, or the psychic terrain. They're a pathway into that. And I think the tarot, that's my number one thing I work with. I love, so I'll always work with that. And I do get a lot of guidance from that, and I keep a journal on, the things that I'm really searching for in there. But I also realize that, it's a pictorial tool. It's what's going on in the ethers of me. So it just helps me develop me. It's a mirror back for me. I don't think that they're necessary, and I don't like it when I see, somebody just like, everything is their, looking for answers in the tarot, and they're doing it excessively and obsessively. It's like, wait a minute, you're missing the point of what this beautiful tool can teach you.
And teaching you is really the truth, because the tarot contains so much of the history, the metaphysical, esoteric history, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it's a great teacher, but, if you do get obsessed, sometimes you can just not be objective enough, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, if I'm doing a spread for myself and I get the devil card, I'd put it back. Yeah, it's like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, that's like Russian roulette, with your own situation,
Yeah, it's like,
I never do my own cards. I'm afraid to.
Yeah, I get like that too. It's like, okay. Sometimes I do, but then sometimes it's like, I'm afraid to see what they say, Yeah. And, you just brought up a really good point, because I'm a very traditional teacher with Tarot, is that, I like the teachings of Paul Foster Case and the Builders of the Adamant, if I'm saying that right, and all the history. And that's the one issue I have with us. There's like how many tarot decks out on the market these days?
A bazillion of them.
Yeah,
Yeah. Literally.
And it's like, to me, it's just people doing artwork, because what is the meaning of these, like, lips with teeth? What is that card supposed to tell me, you know? Or what? Some of these cards, you're like, what am I supposed to get from this? And I think when people get away, I mean, the tarot is a beautiful, there's beautiful history there and a lot of great symbolism. And, yeah, not every deck has to be, you know, a traditional deck, but you can take from that and really work with it. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful decks out there, and then there's a lot of decks like, oh, my God. I mean, I don't get, like, why would I use the Hello Kitty deck? Now, what's that going to tell me, okay?
That's just a fad, you know. Like, I have a Halloween deck, you know, and it's kind of just
a
fad.
Yeah, I have that, too.
Oh, that's it. I know. It's my mother gave it to me, and I thought it was just like amazing that she gave it to me. All, you know, she gave me you know, that, but it's still, it's very, that's what I would consider a stylistic deck. But I'm with you on that. I mean, if people are serious about learning the tarot, that they really need to get a traditional deck with all the traditional symbolism.
So does that mean I need to get rid of my Superman deck then, or my
you have Spider-Man or Superman? Okay.
No, that's okay. I have the Housewife Tarot, and the death card is a mayonnaise jar with salmonella. You know, I mean, yeah, they're fun. They're fun.
Oh,
but all of us that are serious.
Bobby,
what
tarot cards do you have, Bobby?
No, I don't. I don't have any. I used to own the weight deck. You know, the standard deck. But I'm really in agreement with her. When I very first started using, I probably used them for like a night. And I know that I can be an addictive personality, and I wanted to exactly what she said, and I think I had even said the exact same thing. I wanted to be on a desert island with nothing and still be able to do what I do, instead of relying on, gee, am I getting these answers because I have a deck or because I, you know, have a crystal or what have you.
Right.
So I was too afraid that my confidence wouldn't come from inside. It was going to come from the tools. So I stopped using tools. I've never really used any.
Yeah.
Well, I love tools myself. I like, I don't know.
They can be fun. They're definitely a lot of fun. I was just too afraid. You know what I mean? I just lacked self-confidence in the beginning. And so until I knew what I was getting. And so I just wanted to make sure that everything was coming from inside of me. But no, tools are fun. In fact, I think people like tools. They like watching they're very tangible people, aren't they?
So
they like drawings. They like the cards. They love all that. And then it almost gives them the sense that it's not just coming from you. You know, that's kind of a problem. Yeah. They think sometimes when I give information, it's just coming from me as my opinion. But if they get it from the cards, right?
It's
now it's coming from the angels. You know, so
yeah.
I think sometimes it helps people's beliefs too and lowers their defenses a little bit, I believe.
Or it could be the other way around too, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I was going to say is, Bobby, it's great that you followed your intuition on how to work with your psychic abilities. And, you know, not be pressured to use tools if you don't want to. And that's what's really, I think, people need to know. This isn't black and white. I mean, there's a myriad of colors here. And so, really, I mean, there is a foundation, and we need to know the terrain, but we have to personalize it to what works for us, you know, what works for that person.
Well, and it's true. You know, it's very psychic. The psychic skills and how they manifest in all of us is a very personalized thing. And no, I don't believe anybody's the same. Everybody's different. Everybody, it comes to them in a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't just say that person, you know, use the tarot cards and it'll come through that way with you. Whereas somebody may be more, you know, in tune with their mediumship or they're drawn to other things or, you know, stuff like that. So,
yeah. Well, that's why, you know, it kind of reminds me of what I would tell people when I used to do ghost hunts, and I used to do the Queen Mary ghost tour for a couple months, the real ghost tour. And I would just always tell people on the tour, you know, pay attention to the little nuances of life, because everybody's out there looking for something really big to happen, and they miss it. It's in the little nuances. So I don't care if it's with ghost hunting or mediumship or what kind of psychic work we're doing. It's paying attention to the little nuances, you know. It's just, you know, if you've got, to give you an example, you know, maybe you're seeing the same vehicle, the same type of vehicle, or in the same color, mm-hmm. cross your path one day, and you've never seen that before, and maybe that person that you know across the country that you don't know owns that vehicle, you know, is calling you. So it's like those are the things you want to be aware of. It's like, wow, why am I seeing this? I never saw this like this before. You know, what's going on here? And then you find out later or something. So I really feel it's paying attention to the little nuances, and so we don't miss anything. And I always, with my students, and I'm a real book person. Like I said, there's a lot of good books out there. But one of my favorite authors is Miguel Ivanhoe, Amran Miguel Ivanhoe. And I've really depended a lot. I mean, I've learned a lot from his books, and I go back over them. He's got, like, Man's Psychic Life and Looking into the Invisible. I mean, there's so – and it's old school. It's very old school.
So it goes back to the real basics of all this stuff, not just the fluff and the hype.
Right. And that's the challenge I'm having with my book. And sometimes, you know, I'm a little bit behind on writing this. It's like, because I don't want this to be another, you know, I won't have it be a fluff book. So it's more, it will go back more into old school stuff. Because I think so much has been lost. I mean, I spoke with someone the other day who called me, and it was like, she's been having these experiences for a long time, and she's frightened of them, you know, because she doesn't mm-hmm. know what they are. And people do that with, you know, ghosts and different things. And so it's just learning what this is all about. And I would probably say to someone who's just starting out, learn what this is about before you even are concerned about opening up to it, because once you have that knowledge, you know what's going on. There's a book that's out, I think it's out of print, but it literally saved my life. I think I got it back in the 80s when I first started this, but it's called Are You Really Too Sensitive by Marcy Calhoun. And that book literally saved my life because it explained what was happening to me on a psychic level of like getting information overload. You know, somebody's talking to you, but something's not right. Well, you're psychically hearing the truth underneath those words, but we don't know that. So
that is really fascinating, and I think that and I get that all the time. I'm hearing all these voices, I'm hearing all these things in my mind. I don't know how to control it. I'm getting these dreams. I feel like I'm, you know, experiencing the same thing over and over again. And to be able to break that down and really show a person in real layman's terms what exactly is what's happening. That's going to be awesome in your book, honey.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. So that's the goal. Yeah. Is like what is really happening. And then after we know, like I said, this book literally saved my life because I thought, you know, I was going crazy. And we know that there's a fine line between psychic ability, and then people do cross that line and go crazy. They work on a crazy level.
And they do, and you know the New Age was a blessing in some ways, and then in some ways it glossed over what people really need to know about protection and the negative stuff. It can't be all just good, good, good. Do you see what I mean? There is always a balance.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, and how many people have we ran into that are like, what? There's a negative. There's a dark side to this. And I mean, I'm not trying to focus on the dark side, but I'm a realist. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, and it's like Cher, Star Wars always told me, you know, in the beginning, you know, hey, there's stupid people here. There's going to be stupid people over there. You know, it's like, yeah.
I know.
Always loved that.
Oh, boy, I know that.
You know, and it's like, yeah, you know, it's so true. I mean, if you, you know, just as above, so below, you know, so just take it like that. But I think with the goal and my intention is just to let people know what things are. And then if that's what you want to do, then proceed with it. Like the woman I was talking to, she's like, well, I don't really think I want to develop these abilities. I'm too afraid. I'm like, then don't. But let's learn how to control them so your life will be more effective. Not everybody has to be working on a psychic level. Like you said, we'd be out of business.
That's true. Well, Victoria, you know, I could talk, you know what, we could talk the whole night about this. We could go on and on and on, but we've reached the kind of the end of our conversation. I wanted to thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate your work and your fascinating insights about these psychic skills. And I want you to have a fabulous evening, okay?
Well, me too, to you. I thank you very much for inviting me on your show, Brenda. I loved it, and I'll be looking forward to speaking with you anyway. Take care, hon.
Okay,
bye-bye. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, you can find out more information about Victoria Gross and her upcoming book, Psychic Skills for Everyday Living, at www.tarotla.com and www.casefilesunknown.com. I want to take a couple minutes to make some announcements. I want you to be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number in a little bit later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. I think Maureen's always on it. Maybe she'll put it in the chat room. If you are unable to catch our show last week on energy portraits, you'll find a recorded archive link, and it was incredibly fascinating show, as well as the archives of all our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many as you out there as possible, so please share that link with others. And be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation, the how-tos of psychic development, everything else under the sun. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics. Each one of them has their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations that are required to each one of us psychics. All of our co-hosts here on psychicaccessradio.com work at Psychic Access. If you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, and by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit our website at psychicbloggers.com. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join in the chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There is something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Now, that call-in number that everybody's waiting for, and we're not ready for it yet, but we will be after our kibitzing set, what I call the kibitzing section here. It's 724-444-4851, and we'll be ready in just a few minutes. Now we're going to take a few opinions and questions from the rest of the co-hosts. Maureen! Hey, how do you feel? I know, opinions, man.
Just schlock. And
how do you feel about... I'm getting an echo. Can you hear that?
Yeah, echo. No, I don't hear it now.
How do you feel wisdom and knowledge is related to intuition? Do you think there's a link?
Yes, actually... This is the thing, and I've probably say it every week. I'm a real big fan of Carl Jung, people say, but Jung. And I do feel that I go on his whole thing was about, he believed, is there's the psyche was divided into three distinctive parts. The ego is one of them. We all know what that means, what it does to us. And this is like the mental issue of the conscious mind. And the ego is the thing of the individual that's making decisions, learning, growing, and obtaining the knowledge. But this is the thing that went into what your guest was talking about. But then he goes into the collective unconsciousness. I know I repeat myself a lot on this, but it is a theory of his that I really am all for, because it's like we're all born with a psychic inheritance. It's like a driving inheritance. So that part of the psyche is never consciously called upon because, you know, of our world later on we get conditioned. But it does direct a person's emotional reactions. So, we were talking about this last, about our emotions, weren't we, last week? About, okay, so if the collective of the religions or spiritual, the mythology, symbols, or all that stuff, which are passed down through the generations, and therefore they predate each of us. I hope that's not too intense for everybody to understand, but the knowledge, you know, I don't know. I was listening, and I just think the knowledge, well, I'm going to stop for a minute because I have other things to say about the other thing. But I do feel that wisdom, anybody can be wise and wisdom, but knowledge is the gathering of it all. It is. Mm-hmm. It's the gathering of it all is really what it's like. And that's how I always say, I just know what I know, and I'm open to everybody else's experiences and everything. But if I don't believe in it, but I know what I know. And so wisdom is the smartness to just, it is. And, but the knowledge is the gathering of all. So
perhaps somebody that was not necessarily psychic in this world, it wasn't their psychic inheritance or intuitive inheritance in this lifetime. Sometimes they get in like violent accidents and then it jars that within them and they become intuitive. You've heard of that.
No, I haven't. No, but you know, I really feel strongly that we all are born with this inheritance. We're all collectively who we are. There's some people that make bad choices. They're raised in families or they're I've never heard that, but that makes sense to me what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I was a runaway car. I didn't know what I was going on with me. I didn't have anybody embracing me when I was younger with my stuff. But I do feel that we come into this world and we're so connected, all of us, with us even so. But we'll ignore it because of, you know, conditions.
Well, thank you, Maureen.
Sure. I bet you. Thank you, Brenda.
Steve, do you use your psychic ability in everyday life or just when you're working?
I do most of the time. I honestly believe that when we're working psychically, if we're working at a high frequency, then we're working with spirit. And for me, working with spirit is a way of life. I really like what your guest said about being aware that there are different energies out there. So just as there are good, bad, and average energies in the world, they exist as well beyond our physical world. And, you know, when we're working to a high vibration, we're connecting with the spiritual realm, and even up potentially through to the angelic realm. Sorry, my cat just peed in my suitcase. I'm packing it.
Oh, I was feeling the psychic energy.
Oh, so now I have to buy another suit.
She's on a funny roll tonight, honestly.
I was packing before the show because I'm going to the UK tomorrow, and he's very funny and he doesn't like me going anywhere. So it's a protest, basically. It's quite funny. Anyway, back to the spiritual realm. when we're connecting with the spiritual realm and we're operating in the physical realm, in the physical world, in duality. So we descend from spirit into duality in order to experience ourselves and to grow. But above the spiritual, above the physical plane, and before the spiritual realm, we have the astral realm, which is where the astral body belongs. We connect upwards through the astral realm. And if we're working to a high level, we're connecting with the spiritual realm, our guides, and up to angels, etc. But our energy passes through the astral realm. And there's a lot of energy in the astral realm that hasn't evolved up to the truly spiritual realm. And so we have to be really conscious of the energy. So I believe that if we're going to, we're all psychic. And even if you don't choose to use your psychic ability more extensively, you're still psychic. You're still susceptible to energy. And we all need to know how to protect ourselves by visualizing protection, by praying, by working with integrity, by setting the intentions that we want to connect with the higher realms. Sorry, I could go on forever because I find all of this fascinating, but I'm a little upset with my cat.
Oh, well, you know, I like what you said about working with integrity, because that goes back to karma and kind of like the rule of three. Of three, you do three good things come to you. You do three bad things come to you. You know, that it's very age old. Thank you, Steve. I guess you got to get out your disinfectant.
No, I'll just buy another suitcase.
Oh, no. Bobby.
Walmart after this show.
Oh, thank you. Bobby, what basic skills do you still use today to help you with everyday living?
So three bad things? So I can always just stop at two bad things? Is that what?
No.
I don't know the full rule, I guess. What was the question?
What basic psychic skills do you still use today to help you with your everyday stuff that you do?
I always agree with sticking to basics. Always start the basics with, because that was weird, wasn't it? Everybody else heard a voice in their head, right?
That was special.
That was special.
Okay,
was
just
special.
Making sure. You know, examples I've always heard, I can't remember who it was, if it was Magic Johnson or whatever, but he had just won, you know, the big game and the last shot of the evening. And they had asked him what was going through your head as you were dribbling down the court. And he says, honestly, it was just dribble 1-2, dribble 3-4, dribble 1-2, dribble 3. He was just back to basics because he didn't want to choke. And I've always agreed with sometimes just going back to, you know, just meditation or just kind of a quieting of the mind. You know, we get so mm-hmm. far in deep into these tools that we have for life's progress that oftentimes we can overlook the simplest things. And sometimes it's just a matter of kind of collecting yourself before you do anything, before you have to make an unpleasant phone call. If you're calling, you know, to pay your bills, or you got to call the courts, or I had to call a thing for jury service the other day.
Oh, don't you hate that? I evade them everywhere.
I did too, but they sent me another notice. I love it because they throw fear into you, and then like patriotism. So they said, you know, we can fine you $1,500 if you don't answer us. And besides, it's your right as a citizen. And I'm like, what? And you could just put that in the same sentence. Like, you're threatening me, but then also talking about patriotism and how it's my duty. And it was very funny. Anyway.
Well,
so,
you know what you have to do with that, don't you, Bobby? You
need to totally. Go oh, yeah, I'm going
to
go.
You have to go exactly. All the way there. And then when they ask you about why you can't be on the jury, you have to say, because I'm psychic and I know he did it. I know
he's guilty. Exactly. I love it. So
isn't that really interesting though, guys? I wonder how they would respond if you did say what you do for a living.
I plan on telling them. They're going to ask me and I'll let you know.
Did it. That's how I know. That's how I got excused.
He'll be ostracized, will he not? No, we don't want that ostracized.
But he laughed. They laughed at me, but then they excused me.
That's so funny. I love it. I'll just switch a couple of times after I say it.
It's such a pain. Well, you probably signed a petition, and that's what happened.
Just click those heels 3 times and you'll be home, Bobby. Yes. Okay,
so Maureen, explain your view on intellectual intuition versus spiritual intuition. You know what? I'm all ears. I want to hear
okay.
this.
Lucy, I will explain. Let me explain.
Lucy,
I explain. Okay, well, it goes like this. Really, spiritually, the region of that mind is the intuitive region of the mind. You know, the mind and the brain are a bit different. I don't want to go off the deep end, but intuition, someone's coming on board. Hello. Intuition is a higher faculty. So that of the intellect. So, for instance, with intuition, you simply will know, have a knowing. But with the intellect, you must gather information through personal experiences, but the mm-hmm. pieces of that information together, and then you'll draw on conclusions. That's why people underestimate how intuitive we all are themselves. So what happens, you will later intellectually even rediscover that you intuitively already know. And so we go, it's almost like I guess I'll use handball, I was a handball player, or tennis, back and forth, and see how far you can go. So the intuition is a higher faculty, but should not be confounded with that we usually describe as intuition. So everything in daily life we call intuitions is a spontaneous type of manifestations type of thing to our common mm-hmm. sense. And so, like a lot of people in the chat room and stuff, I go, well, I have intuition, I have that. And I really do feel that we all do. Right now we're in a great time of our lives that we're all getting it. You know, we're all getting it and listening to the signs are out there. Signposts up ahead. Steve was talking about that before we started the show. There's a lot of signs, you know, with things. But intuitive knowing, or the spiritual intuition, never refers to anyone's personal affairs. So if anybody can understand this, so it's always, and I always used to think differently because of my past experiences, but you combine them together and it's like I said, we're obliviously walking around unconscious of our consciousness. So there is they have scientifically proven a lot in telepathy. They've done, you know, in, what was it? University of Nevada, Japan. They've already scientifically proved intuition on an intellectual level with these tests of telepathy. So when it comes down to it, you know what? We are what we are, and I do feel that everybody's had some feeling of something, like, you know, when the phone rings, like that kind of thing. But is that intellectual or is that spiritual? I kind of feel it's a blend.
So you believe that the spiritual is more of the instinctive, whereas the intellectual,
yes,
we're thinking, it's like we battle with ourselves,
yes,
we double guess ourselves, guess ourselves and the things that we're like seeing.
Yes, and also a seeing or feeling, like, because I feel a lot, but it's a good point you bring this up, because really a lot of people will see all the things that they want to see on the ego level too, you know, or they'll, it really has to do with the intent, your intent. If we all had good intentions, no matter what kind of work we do in this world, if we all had the good intentions as best as we could, and yes, what you said is exactly right. So, but it all comes down to having the good intention or the intent on with that. So, yes, that's exactly right, Brenda. Very, very insightful view. You put it together perfectly.
Well, thank you, Maureen.
Have you understood what I said?
Got the gist of it, okay?
Well, my mind goes on a different, you know, whatever movie theater. Okay, thank you for asking.
Now, Steve, did you punish that bad kitty?
No, I love him. And if you think of it, my car was damaged yesterday, and I always think when something happens to consider how symbolic it is and to look at how it serves you. So I'm flattered because he does that because he doesn't like me going away. So I should be happy, right?
You should be, because he loves you so much so that he pissed in your suitcase. So how can listeners heighten their psychic ability? How do you feel would be a good tool for that?
Well, I believe that that learning and demonstrating our commitment is the key. So I find the more I study metaphysics, the more commitment I'm showing to spirit about my desire to serve spirit, my desire to have good knowledge that can be used to help people. So if we make a commitment, we make an ongoing commitment, we make an effort, then spirit will reward us. And really, psychic ability is like anything else. If you have musical ability, you don't just sit back and take it for granted. You practice your skill, you fine-tune it, you invest time and energy in it, and it grows. But I also believe in having excellent mentors, finding good teachers, reading, watching documentaries, learning as much as we possibly can, and practicing. Actually, working with our ability and learning as we go, and doing it with great spirit, great integrity. I also have to say I really enjoyed the discussion about tarot, and I actually believe that I have a fascination with tarot. I'm not an expert on tarot, but I'm fascinated by the fact that each card of a major arcana correlates with either a planet or a sign of the zodiac, and that the major arcana each correlate with numbers in numerology and with the Kabbalah and mm-hmm. with the Hebrew alphabet and even with the Egyptian initiation through the Great Pyramids. Mm-hmm. And I believe that tarot is actually one of the keys to Solomon's temple. I believe that the other is astrology. So they're incredibly powerful tools, and they work on so many different levels. So I believe that we have so much to learn. It's exciting, and we should do it with joy.
Spoken like a true Capricorn, I'll have to say. Yeah. Well, you know, we like to get to that. We are conscious of the foundations of our work, you know, and it's just the way we approach it. And the tarot, I mean, I agree with you 100% about the tarot. Contained within the tarot is the history of all life and humankind on this earth.
Absolutely. You know? And it's about the ascension of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, am I on mute? No, I'm not on mute. You know, yes, and I agree with that. I think tarot is a symbolic history of human experience. Absolutely.
Everything is in the tarot. I mean, colorology.
Absolutely. Everything. It was amazing when you're absolutely right. And it is like, wow. It's like a wow feeling when I'm self-taught, but it was like, wow. I was like, oh my gosh, look at this. It goes all through the books of the Bible. I mean, it goes through all sorts of things. It all comes together. It's amazing when you get that. It really is.
When it just kind of all fits.
Well, it did, and my head starts spinning, and then all of a sudden I go, oh my gosh, it's all interconnected. All the sciences are just like fused in there. It's amazing. That's when I really felt strongly about it is symbolic record of human experience of all the things, other sciences as well.
Mm-hmm. It is one of the foundation tools, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, Bobby, do you have any tips for people that are wanting to use this to help their lives, help them understand things in their lives?
Yeah, it's much like what we've already talked about. Everybody has their own tips and things like that for tuning into the psychic awareness. And I always go straight to, I guess, what you guys have been talking about, knowledge. It's life experience. Pay attention to your own life experiences. I know that, you know, as we talked earlier about having to gain a certain amount of life experience before you can give a reading necessarily, because I had always wondered why it took me so late in life before I started doing this. And I know I had to have life experience. And so my mind gets used kind of like a card file, and certain information or certain things will come up in relation to who it is that I'm reading for. So pay attention to your own life experience. Some of the people that make the best healers are the ones that have gone through particular situations themselves. I always say you don't want somebody in AA lecturing you about drinking if they've never been a drunk,
an alcoholic,
or they've never been an alcoholic, right? So you want somebody who is going to have that experience. So pay attention to the trials and tribulations, I guess, that it is that you go through. And through that and through healing, your natural intuition expands, I believe. And once you allow it to do that, then it's just a matter of listening to it. Don't add opinion to it. Don't add judgment. Don't add whether you think it's right or wrong, or and it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to make sense to you. If you're doing readings for somebody else, you just give the information undiluted, you know. So, so it's really about life stuff, your own life, and getting your life in order. I've seen people, too, who are living pretty rough lives, and yet they're doing psychic work and passing on to other people. And I just don't think that they're in a position to, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Take care of your own stuff first. You don't have to have it all completed before you start doing readings, but at the same time, at least get a handle on it. You know, I've seen people who are just complete
wrecks. Yeah, but you have to be focused. Otherwise, you can't be living in that drama, because that is – that doesn't put you in a clear place to be able to counsel or help other people. Do you see
absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You yeah. you have to be pretty centered in some of the stuff that you're doing. I mean, you
and when you
be.
Get centered, then the intuition automatically comes. Intuitiveness is part of our true nature. It's part of who we are. And there's mm-hmm. some people who are more familiar with it than others. That's all. So if you choose to focus on it, when you work on yourself, the intuitiveness automatically comes up. And there, it's not a trick to that. So many people are thinking, I can rise above everything else I have going on and just be intuitive. Well, it's a ridding process. When you get rid of all the drama and rid of all the suffering and pain in your life, then the intuitiveness is already there. There's nothing to pursue. So,
well,
just
couldn't have said it better myself.
Oh, I'm sure you could have waxed poetic. I'm sure.
Okay, well, we've come to the part of the show where we will be taking your calls and your questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will be automatically placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Please relax and listen to the show while you wait. Please be very clear and direct with your question. We can only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls waiting for a reading. Okay, Bobby, you're first with Virginia.
Hello from Virginia. How are you?
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
I have a question for you.
Well, what's your name first? I have a question for you first.
Okay, Bobby. This is Dee.
Hi, Dee. I should have known. I'm sorry. I guess I just should have known. All right, what's going on, girl? Let me have it. What do you want to talk about?
I have a good friend of mine. I haven't heard from them, gosh, in almost a month. Not sure what is going on. Are they okay? Do I need to reach out to them? Give me some advice, please.
Everything seems to be fine. I think it's just one of those situations where they get kind of buried in things that are taking place in their life. You know, there's some people who just kind of lose touch and lose connection because their focus is on whatever overwhelmment they might be having. It feels like your role in all of this is just more supportive. So you could reach out, but don't reach out like, you know, I don't know if you're texting them or emailing or however it is that you connect, but sometimes we pull at people, and when you send out a text or you send out an email, what's going on with you? You should call me. Why don't you call me? Where have you been? Is everything okay? Blah, blah, blah. That's the type of thing that, in my experience, pushes people into a corner. So sometimes it's better if you could just send an email or a text that just says, hey, you know, I don't know what's going on, or I'm just kind of sensing everything. You know, if you want to go that far with it, I'm just sensing that everything's kind of burying you right now. I just want you to know I love you. You know what I mean? Or you don't even have to go into a lot of talk. Just a simple text, just say thinking about you. You know what I mean? So it's kind of just walking up and holding their hand in a sense. But I don't think anything's bad. It just feels like a lot of pressure and a lot of, you know, just stuff above me and just kind of, again, it's just overwhelming, it just seems like. So I think this person has just kind of had to buckle down and pay more attention to that. See what I mean?
I sent an email that wasn't containing, you know, the correct verbiage that you used. It was something that we had discussed previously, and I sent an email to say, are you still considering this? And they never respond, which is very unusual.
Yeah, it seems like it. So you know, again, I'm still just going to kind of stick with what it was that I was talking about. You know, if you haven't heard back, how long ago did you send that email?
On Sunday.
Today's Thursday. I'd say maybe Monday or Tuesday of next week. If you still haven't heard anything, you know, then if that's the type of case, then I would maybe hit it up with a couple more sentences and just say, you know, I'm just trying to make plans. If you are still interested, great. But if not, I mean, I totally get it. Just let me know either way. You know what I mean? And then it just feels like then after you've made that step, then you've done everything you can. And if you still don't hear from them, You know, that's it, it's right. Time to kind of let that go a little bit, you know.
Okay, so just kind of, if I don't hear anything by it, do Monday, Tuesday, just kind of reach out.
Well, you're kind of fading in and out. I'm sorry, I couldn't understand.
No, I said if I don't hear anything Monday or Tuesday, you said that I should just reach out and say hi, you know.
Yeah, just reach out. Yeah, you know, just reach out one more time, and you know, again, if it were time for you to walk away or time for you to ignore this and let it go, then I would
right.
say so. But I'm still getting just one more step. You know what I mean? And yeah, by Monday or Tuesday, reach out again. If you haven't heard anything by then you might want to set your sights differently. You know, set a new focus.
Yeah, like I said, I thought we were good friends. So I was just concerned maybe something was going on, and you know. Whatever.
Yeah, and again, that is what I'm picking up on. But you can only ask people so many times, you know, and
exactly.
It's kind of up to them, isn't it? You know, unfortunately. But you can't think about them, and you can't still send good energy their way and hold that good space for them, right?
Right. Well, thank you. You're the best.
All right. Thanks, Dee. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you.
Very insightful.
Very insightful.
Okay, Maureen, next
yes.
from California.
Hi, California, and I'm here too in California. And hello.
Hi.
Hi, who am I speaking to?
Anthony.
I'm sorry, Josephine. One more time, could I get him? Sorry, your name?
Anthony.
Okay, I don't know if you're, that's okay. I'm ready for you. What can I help you? How can I help focus in on something for you?
I am going through a very, very tough time in my marriage right now. And
okay.
I guess I just wanted to see
what's going on. Okay, got it. Okay, I got it.
And
I know, you know, I know it's hard for you. You're a good woman. However, I do feel that whatever gone on in the, I see something about the past. Whatever it is, there has not yet been, you know how I put to people, you can't repair the past with fantasy. If something needs to be repaired, and I don't know because I don't have a lot of time on this reading, but there's something going on that has not yet made any effort and might be on the end of, you know, the man you're married to. But, and I'm not saying he's a bad man, but it does look like recently, like now in spring, very recently, it was like you're trying to put things back or try to have a new beginning, a fresh start, which it didn't. It's not working out so well. I kind of feel, you know, I get a good feeling, absolutely, that you're going to work this through. It's going to be very difficult in the next couple months, I feel. I could be off on that, but it's like there's a negative mother energy I see surrounding you, or someone's portraying you as a negative mother, which is not truth. And I feel that within the 4-month period, I see you very happy, and you have a lot of faith, and I see you very happy heading towards a very successful situation in a relationship. So I don't know all the gist of what's going on, but you are searching for a deeper meaning as far as being in a partnership goes with a lifelong partner. And I'm wondering, because I don't have a lot of time, but I am going to ask you this. Do you want to work this out?
Yes.
Are you willing to work out?
Yes.
Yeah, I really feel very strongly that it will be. You will be able to. Some people can't handle it. I do see you handle. I see this relationship, your marriage, will be. It will thrive. It won't just be about surviving through it. It'll thrive. And a lot of people can't do this, but you will. I see you, there's an opportunity for you to really. You and your husband will be able to do this. Really be able to move forward and no rehashing the past. Things will be in order, but right now it's difficult, and it will be difficult for the next 8 weeks, or so. But I see it to be very positive, you know, especially in the summer months. Things will be you're going in a great direction. So
okay.
hang in there and try to be good to yourself right now while things are really hard, because I know it's very difficult. I feel for you. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Thank okay.
you very much.
Thank you. And bless
Thank
your
you.
Heart. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Maureen. Okay. Next is it's my call from California. Oops. Excuse me. I was wrong. North Carolina. Hey, North Carolina.
Hello.
Hi there. How can I help you?
Hi, my name is Jacqueline Roundtree, and I'm calling because I'm going through a lot with my ex, and I really feel like I'm supposed to be with him, and I feel like I'm at a verge of losing him, and I really don't want to lose him.
Okay, let's take a peek here. Well, I do see him pulling away, but I feel that it's not about you. I feel that it's about a lot of things that are occurring in his life right now. Like, he's got stress over money. I feel there could even be some legal things around him that he's stressed out about. I do see him. I don't believe that this is it's going away. I believe that it's just he's stepping back because he has to deal with all this. He remembers the two of you together and how good it was. But, you know, in the time in his life, he's just, I mean, communication looks difficult. I feel that he's kind of acting out. There may even be another person around him who is encouraging him with this. however, if you kind of loosely hold on to this, I feel that by July of this year, things could get back on track. I'm also seeing that you need to be aware of, you know, getting angry, calling him up, and, you know, really kind of confronting him. It's just not the time for that.
Yeah, I have been calling him, and he was telling me, you know, the more you blow my phone up, the more you're pushing me away. So I have cut back on that.
I think it's important to do that. It's kind of like knowing when to hit the gas pedal and when to take it off. Do you know what I mean? You have to be able to kind of gauge this in you using your woman's intuition, because, you know, a lot of times we can see more because we're on the outside right now. He's putting you on the outside. So you need to just kind of gauge this and know when it's time to enter in a relationship again, or when he needs a friend. And right now I feel that he needs a friend more than he needs to be in a committed relationship that's going forward, you know, towards a goal. See what I mean?
So not calling him and being patient and waiting for him, you think that's the best thing to bring him back?
I do, because you have to let him go through his stuff. You have to. This is what it's feeling like, because if you keep him going like you are now, then it looks like it's going to become confrontive, and it looks like it could even like go in a negative way, and you don't want that to happen, right?
Right.
So it's about backing off a little bit, letting him to come to you, which I feel he will. He'll tell all of a sudden a couple weeks, and he'll go, wait a minute, I haven't heard from her in a while. Text you, what's going on? You know what? That's what you want to happen. You want to diffuse the situation. It's getting too intense right now.
Yes, it is. You're right.
Okay.
Do you think things will be better this time around?
I feel that there is a possibility of that, because it feels like he will have resolved some of his issues that he's dealing with, namely financial issues around him. And he's going to be looking at some new things in his life. And then you want to be a part of that happy time, don't you?
Yes.
So,
what
yeah, I see that, again, I'm getting July as a key month for this to come back around in a better way.
What do you see between our son that we have together?
You mean in regards to him, you mean, and his communication with your son? Is that it?
Well, no, because he comes against his son. I guess what I'm asking is, do you think because we have a son together that will help the situation?
I think it's all part of the situation. I don't feel it's the only thing. I feel that he's very aware of his responsibility. And I do believe in his heart of hearts that he wants the family unit and that whole thing, but he's just not able to do it right now. He feels overloaded.
Okay. Now, I will tell you, I had spoken to another psychic earlier today, and she told me that it's another woman that's keeping him away from me.
There may be the influence of somebody else out there around him, but I don't feel that it's significant. I feel it's more like chatter. and it's a distraction.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate your time.
All right, honey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, Steve from Massachusetts.
Yeah. Thank you, Brenda. Who's calling from Massachusetts?
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Oh, it's Aaron. I'm calling from New York.
Hi, Aaron. Sorry, we thought you were from Massachusetts. How can I help, Aaron?
Hi, I am curious about my job situation. When the next substantial job will come through, I'm pursuing, and I need to kind of climb out of a financial rut.
Well, as soon as you mentioned work, my guides are saying March, and my reaction to them was, well, it is March, and I got very clear again, March. I'm very drawn to the end of March. It's right at the end of March, but I feel that there's an opportunity for you, and I feel that you're doing all the right things. I don't feel that you'll overcome your financial challenges straight away. I feel it's going to take you a few months to get yourself on track, but I do feel that there's an opportunity that comes through soon. Have you,
okay.
Which role have you applied for that's most exciting for you?
It's so many different things, so I'm not sure which one it could be.
Well, this is the thing, Aaron. You need to be very clear with yourself which opportunity you would be most excited about, which you're most passionate about. Because I know that you're stressed and you want to secure an opportunity, so you've expressed an interest in many different roles. But I feel from spirit that you need to have clarity about the outcomes that you want to focus upon, because otherwise you run the risk of just getting a job, and you want a good job that excites you. You're very good with people. You're a very good, very clear communicator, and you're assertive. You're quite authoritative when you need to. You're very good at dealing with complexity and challenges between people. But you've got many other skills, and I feel that the role you take for 18 to 24 months. So my guides are just saying to you, start to reflect deeply upon what it is you really want to be doing, rather than thinking, oh, I must find a role. You need to stay calmly focused upon what you want, and you need to continue doing that, because even once you secure this role, you've got to create a longer term vision about what you really want to be doing. What are you most passionate about?
It is acting, so that may be why it's coming through unclear.
Sorry, say that again for me, Aaron.
I said it is acting. I do many other things, but acting is the predominant focus.
Okay, so stay focused on that. I know that you're stressed, but you've got to stay focused on your passion, because I had this feeling that from my guides that you were applying for roles, but they were not necessarily what you truly want. They're for shorter term. I do feel that you'll make it. You've got a great look as well. So you're fortunate, because you've got the acting ability, you've got the people skills and the creativity, but you've also got a great look. So go for it. And just be clear that when you take a position at the end of this month, be clear how it serves you, how it's part of your path. How does it help you get where you really want to be? But I feel you'll be very successful. It's been challenging for you, but I feel as though you're sort of overcoming the final test, really, final test of commitment. When we really want to achieve something, spirit tests our commitment to it. It's a little like the question we discussed before about psychic ability, that the key to it is showing spirit how committed we are, and as we show that commitment, they give us more. So I know that you'll be successful.
Thank you. And does this feel like a creative opportunity, the one that you expressed for March?
It does. It does feel creative, but it seems largely about dealing with people. So it's in a creative industry, it's a creative role, but it's very much about handling all the people and some coordination and things like that. But I feel that it leads you nicely through to where you really want to go. Okay?
Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Good luck. Go for it.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Steve. That was a good reading. Okay, Bobby is next from New York.
New York. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
I'm Anne.
Hi, Anne. What can I do for you?
I don't know if this is something you can answer, but I'm very low in energy.
Okay.
And I'm sleeping all the time, so I'm just wondering, like, what's going on with my body?
Have you had problems before? I mean, have you checked out in with a doctor or anything?
I just checked for the doctor and everything is okay.
Yeah, because that's what I'm sensing too. So I don't see anything necessarily, unless one of my co-hosts, you know, I always wish this is where the knowledge part, like we talked about more knowledge inside of for psychicness, and I don't have a great knowledge of vitamins or what maybe your body is lacking, but I do have the ability to look at your body to see if there's something wrong or if there's something that's playing upon that. Do you see what I mean? So I think also the other thing that I'm picking up on, especially in the past 2 or 3 months, see if this makes sense to you, that it feels like you've been also tuning more in. In other words, like you've been more aware, more open, more intuitive in the past 3 or 4 months. Has that hit for you? Have you noticed anything like that?
No.
Okay, never mind then. I was going to say, because what it feels, here's what it feels like to me, because I could.
Well,
so
somebody else, another psychic said, though, that I'm becoming more intuitive, so maybe I just don't know what it is. Maybe I am, I'm just not aware of it.
It very well could be, because the sense that I'm getting, so let me explain what I'm feeling, and that may make more sense to you, is that whenever you're really open like that and you're just receiving a bunch of information and it can just be very overwhelming. And when you just continue to do that, you do become very, very tired. Now, if this were just stress in your life, I don't get that you're overly stressed in your life. You've got the normal type of stresses, I think, that anybody else does. So I'm not sensing that you're just overstressed. But again, when you're really kind of being bombarded with energy and spirit and guides coming through to you and downloading information, I think that it can really wear on you quite a bit. And that's the sense I'm getting. It's like, it's just tired. You're just tired because it's been this kind of spiritual work. So if you were more aware of that, then that would make sense. I only stick with that because, number one, it's still what I'm feeling. But secondarily, you said somebody else had told you that. So there must be kind of something to that here. And I'm still going to stay with what I'm telling you. I don't think the good news is it's nothing with your body. Nothing's wrong. I would try to become a little bit more aware of some of the information that you're getting and talk to your guides. Do you believe in any of that? Guides and angels, and do you do any talking with that?
I find it basically impossible because I can't even meditate. I mean, I can't even go into a meditative state.
Well, so you're right on and just getting ready to step onto the very first brick in the yellow brick road. So what I would recommend that you do is to re-question some of the beliefs that you have. In other words, I've worked with thousands of people, and I hear from many, many of them that I can't even meditate, I can't get into a meditative state of mind. But I don't believe in that. Everybody can get into a meditative state of mind. It's just that your perception of what meditation is, quiet, calm, and peaceful, that may not be it. Do you see what I mean? Like, that can be a symptom of, and absolutely meditation can bring you into a calm state of mind. But what I'm saying is that sometimes meditation isn't getting away from the mind, it's living with the mind. So you have all the chaos that still goes on, but yet you can be restful through that. I'm just wanting you to challenge some of your perceptions on meditation, spirit guides, angels, getting into all of that spiritualness, because the reason why you have a struggle with your energy right now is because there is an internal struggle between what you believe all this stuff is and what your inner self, your true self, knows everything to be. Do you see what I mean? So the inner self and
I've had a lack of energy for several years now.
I don't think that's true. I know that there may be times I can see periods of energy that depletion, but I don't think it's been ongoing for a couple of years. And again, our minds really take and glom everything together. And so I hear people all the time, I'm always smoking and I'm always this, I'm always depressed. It's not always. If it were completely that, your body would have a lot more problems with it than it does. But I know that that's what your mind is telling you. So I'm going to actually have to wrap up with you. I was heading in a direction that I think would serve you better. And so I don't think you're quite there just yet. But what I would recommend that you do is go back and listen to the archives and see if there's something there that you can't glean some information from. But to answer your question, to where you're comfortable, no, I don't think anything's wrong with your body. I don't see anything wrong with you spiritually. I don't see anything wrong. In other words, I don't feel that you're depressed or that it's anything like that. I just believe that there's a struggle going on of letting go of part of that human self that's yours and that inner knowing, that source that's also coming through you. Okay? So.
Okay.
I know, okay. It's very frustrating.
Thanks
for calling in. Take care.
Okay.
Thank you,
Bobby.
Well,
it's tough. Yeah, when you don't want to hear the answer, it's very
difficult. You know, you have to be really careful with those type of things because it kind of borders on medical advice. Do you know what I mean?
We can't
go in that direction because we're not medical doctors, you know? So it's, you know, all we can do is just look in and see what we see energetically, you know? So, okay, Maureen, you're next from California.
Yet another Californian, or is it Cali? I love California. Yeah, it's funny, hip hop, rap. Hi, California. This is Maureen.
Is it my turn?
Yes, this is your turn.
Hi.
And you're calling from California. And may I have your name, please?
This is Lori.
Lori, you got Maureen. Is this Lori?
I just called because I love listening to everybody else's little inquiries and everything and the answers that they get. I love your show. I just want to tell you that first of all.
I love Lori. She's from way back when I was on KNAC in California on regular radio. She's a long time
ago.
Thank you, Lori. That's nice. They're all good people here. Absolutely. And I'm glad you called and I got you.
Yeah,
so I'm ready for you.
You know, the different people too. But anyway, back to me. things have been going really, you know, really nicely. I don't have a specific question, but I was just looking for some more words of wisdom. Regarding things that we had talked about the last time I talked to you.
Okay, and regardless of that, I did see what you sent me, and I'll reply to that. But I will go into like what's kind of happening or what. And also, I feel you're losing some patience. I can understand things have been hard with this situation with this person you're calling about, which is a relationship question, and. It's exhausting, and also I feel that your strength, you know, you have a lot of strength because you've been able to handle what's been going on there, how things are with you too, as you know. That takes a lot of strength, but I feel that you're depleting your strength. You know, I see you being around somebody that's very supportive of you right now, especially during this time, a female friend, a very good female friend. I see you, like somebody, like feeling really good, and I know that maybe it's your daughter. I don't know. Someone really supportive of what's going on with you without judgment and everything else. And, and if that's the case, I would suggest it would be really good for you to spend a lot of time with a female and just right now why some stuff is going on. Lori, also, I do feel that this person that you're asking about, man, is also looking very, very physically drained, extremely drained, tired. He needs to rest. and recharges batteries. I don't know if you know if he said, but it looks like he's exhausted and a bit depressed.
Well, he's been working hard, but I did get a nice surprise on Monday night and got to hear some new music, which was really awesome to get, be able to get to hear. So I imagine that that's probably true. So.
So it's you got some good positive. Well, you know, this is the thing, and I still, because I know we've done readings before, but I do feel that you two are not done yet. This whole situation, but like I said, this is really up to you thing. But I do want to say that I do see him also. Do you want me to say his name, or does that matter to you? Well, I see A. I see A really feeling a sense of release. In the next few months, it looked like he's feeling a lot less pressure from financial heartache, meaning things are going to start lightening up on him. There is certainly an incompletion around what you have been trying to converge, I guess, in the relationship. Uh-huh. Your sleep is going to get better, but like I said, there is a sense of him not being around so much in the next few weeks or so, but it's because he's exhausted physically. He needs to rest. Now, this may be you're carrying a burden, Lori, and that worries me about burdens and stuff on you because you're such a lovely girl and you're sweet. But I do feel you need to be very careful. I just want to say this with somebody else that if you confide in them about your situation, what's really going on, and it's private, they're going to be some gossip and manipulative type, and it looks like a tomboyish-looking girl, okay?
Okay.
And it's someone you know of. And I guess what I'm trying to say is be careful who you confide in, because this person could cause more issues than not, like gossiping, like troublemaking. And
I know who you're talking about.
Okay, therefore, I know it's hard to keep, it's nice when you have somebody, but this person is just manipulative and doing, you know, whatever. I feel that things are moving forward. I think if you can just keep track on that you are, that he should be so lucky or so honored that you're in his life, really. I want you to keep focusing on that part.
Okay.
Lord, well, really.
I just have been really feeling really good, positive about it, and I just wanted, you know, to clarify that, because I think that it can be a good thing, but just one other thing. If you dream about, if you tell somebody that they're in your dream and they say, that's not good, what does that mean?
That means that you don't listen to that person. Because first of all, I'm not a dream analyst, but I do feel that dreaming about a person sometimes could be also a reflection of you. That's how I kind of, there's, you know, some little stuff going on there. But I don't, it's not a bad thing. Who's ever told you that? You know what, really, Lori? Do you think it was bad how you had a dream? Did you feel bad? Did you feel bad?
No.
Okay, listen to your own intuition. That's what the show is about. For me, it was. Listen to your own intuition. Forget about even what I'm saying. Really, Lori? Because that will set you off into a wild, you know, come on, your situation is pretty intense. And it's been a long journey. No, it's not a bad thing whatsoever. If you felt good, no. Somebody rained on your parade. That's what I'm saying. Be careful who you confide in at all about anything. Lori, you know deep down.
Cool.
Okay?
All right.
I will reply to you about the other thing. Okay, Lori, thanks for calling from a long time ago. She's been around for a long time. Thank you, Lori. Yep. Bless your heart. You're sweet.
Welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Thanks, Maureen. Okay, it's a caller from me from South Carolina. North Carolina. Hello, North Carolina.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. What can I do for you this evening?
I was calling about my ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
I'm sensing someone's trying to keep us apart, and it's worrying me because I feel like we're supposed to be together, and I really can't afford to lose him.
Okay. Well, it looks like there's an awful lot of hurt around this situation. Like, I believe that he may have hurt you before in the past.
Yes.
Be careful that, you know, open your eyes because there really is somebody interfering. I believe you know who this is. I believe this person who is interfering wants something out of him. And it's a woman, and I'm seeing that,
it's a distraction for him, and what it's the purpose of it is that, you know, he doesn't have to make a decision right now. What I'm seeing is he's trying to overcome some things in his life, and it looks pretty intense, too. Are you still talking?
No, he won't even speak to me on the phone.
Yeah. You have to let the dust settle on this. You really do, because underneath it all, the strongest part of your relationship is your friendship, and you had a very strong friendship. I mean, he was your best friend. So you're going to have to let this kind of cool off, because I'm seeing some words that were said, some hurt words. It feels like they're, you know, you're both kind of got into it. I
yeah,
also see some money involved
helpful.
Here. So, you know, the hidden thing is not so hidden, and that is that there is another person involving, but he's only susceptible because he's in the situation he is right now. Will it last forever? No, it won't. What I'm seeing is there's kind of a light at the end of the tunnel, and what I'm seeing is that by probably the next 2 months, this opens up again for you. And it's not that you won't hear from him in the next 2 to 3 weeks, because I see a little bit of a peep here and there, just kind of like, you know, hey, how are you doing? You know, casual, like nothing happened. But you know what? I wouldn't initiate it at this point. I feel it's in his hands. When's his birthday?
February 16th.
Yeah, so he's pretty stubborn, isn't he?
Yes.
Pretty darn stubborn, and his stubbornness has gotten him into the situation that he is right now, so it's going to take a little bit to get out of that, right?
Yes, I've done a lot for him. I've helped him, you know, get on his feet, mm-hmm. and I do know it was a female in his life that, you know, was a friend to him, and then there was also another female that was like a friend, but I have caught them having intimate conversations. We have actually broken up in the past behind that. Mm-hmm. Now, he had talked to me after our son was born and tried to work things out with me, but I've been praying a lot, I've been going to church, and I just really feel like, you know, this negative vibe that's between us, that's what's keeping us apart, because I really do feel like me and him are supposed to be together. This woman, who I assume is trying to take him away from me, I think that she is, like, purposely trying to have a baby by him, take his money, stuff like that. And it's like, I don't know what else to do but pray and just pray that he opens his eyes and sees, like, this girl is not in it for you. Like, her heart is not in it. I am. But the more I try and express that to him, the more he pushes me away.
That's because he doesn't want to listen to it, because he's not ready, and he feels, and there's something that she's telling him, and I just saw that it's a very real possibility of a pregnancy around her. However, I don't feel that this will keep him in the relationship, because I don't see that he's in love with her.
Does he love me?
He does, but he's confused, and for him to come back would mean he'd have to take an awful lot of responsibility, and frankly, he's not ready to take responsibility right now. He's being a little bit of a schlump.
Okay.
So you have to be, you have to see the bigger picture, you know, you really do. I believe that when it all comes down to it, you're the one he can depend on, so you're going to have a little patience here, unfortunately.
So you said you do see pregnancy around her?
I feel that she's a very real possibility, that she's trying and she wants to hook him that way, yes. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Have you warned him about that?
I haven't, because he won't even speak to me. Like, if I got off the phone right now to call him, he's going to start yelling and fussing, and he's going to be like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not thinking about no woman. That's what all the stuff he's going to tell me is that. And it's crazy, because I'm trying to really be patient. I'm trying to give him that space, because everybody keeps saying, give him that space, give him that space, and he'll come around. I don't want him to come around after he's gotten someone pregnant. We have a 10-month-old baby. He doesn't need another baby. he needs to be trying to be a part of his son's life right now. He can't do that if he goes out here and makes another baby by another woman that he's not in love with, and that by a woman that she doesn't even really love him. But here I am that, you know, I'm really am in love with him. I'm trying to be there for him, and he's pushing me away. I feel like it has to be something that I can do to stop that. It has to be something that I can do.
The only thing you can do is wait for this thing to fall apart, because it will, and because it's not going to last. I feel that her trying to force him into this action will break them up. I do, because he's not wanting it. He's not wanting it.
I know, but I just don't want her to be pregnant when he makes that decision. Because once a girl gets pregnant, it's in her hands, and there's nothing he can do about it.
This is true, but it doesn't mean that he'll stay with her. Or maybe even if it's his baby. So those are all factors that are in this, honey.
Because the last psychic that I talked to, she said she sensed pregnancy in July. She said that me and him were, I guess she saw some vacationing me and him did to work on our relationship. Because me and him have talked previously about having a daughter. Since we had a son, we had talked about having a daughter. And she did say something about me being pregnant come July. Then she said something about a ring in December. And then I had another lady call me, and she said something about she sensed negativity. There's a lot of negative energy. A lot of people are hoping that we don't make it, that we don't get back together. And their negativity is overpowering my positive energy right now.
Okay, well, you know what? I think you need to forget all that garbage. And I think what you need to do is just, you know, if you focus on positive things come to you. And so, you know, with that in mind, I want you to just focus on, you know, peace and light between the two of you. And unfortunately, we have to wrap up the show right now. And I thank you for calling in, honey, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. That brings us to the end of another wonderful show. Thanks, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer, and thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by the fabulous Bobby. Bobby, what do you have in mind for next week?
We are going to have Brenda B. Bailey.
what? So,
Brenda Bailey. The show's called Healing Through Your Dreams, and she has many modalities that she helps people heal. One of them called Theta Healing. But we'll also be finding out, yeah, not only what that's about, but again, how to heal through your dreams. She does so many wonderful, different things. So it should be a very interesting talk.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's say our goodbyes. Good night, everybody.
Goodbyes.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.